Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Cam.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Warren.
Woohoo! We're back from the Christmas break, holiday break.
Yeah, first episode of 2020.
Finally got our asses together again. Yeah. Who'd think it's so fucking hard?
Well, it was a snowpocalypse, man.
Yeah.
If anyone from Newfoundland is listening, please disregard that.
Dude, we had at least a foot.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe more.
Maybe not 6 to 12 feet in 24 hours.
They shut down Highway 1, though, between Abbotsford and Chilliwack.
Yeah. Both of the main bridges were closed.
Ice bombs and ice. Yeah. Woohoo!
Even the tunnel was dropping ice bombs.
Ooh, fun. Winter in BC. Yeah. A couple days a year.
Yeah, I'm glad it's over.
Speaking of the winter break, I managed to do some home brewing over the winter break.
Nice.
So, brought some of the fruits of my labors, and then got a Fraser Valley beer from Ravens Brewing.
Nice.
And I've been doing a bunch of work on the island, so I have a limited release from White Sails out in Nanaimo.
Cool.
Ooh, fun.
Awesome. So, I haven't had their beer in quite some time.
It's been a while since I've had theirs, too. Probably 2 years or something.
Yeah, I spent some time in the tasting room there after one of my shifts.
It's a nice room, eh?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Lots of space.
Lots of space. Staff were
big,
great.
Big, high ceilings. It's beautiful.
I went in, having never really tried them that much, got a flight, finished it, went back, got another flight, because I was like, well, I want to try the other four now.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good sign, because sometimes it's like, I've had a flight. Thanks a lot, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm out.
the brewer there knows what he's doing. They have a solid lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember any of it being super exciting, but it was all very good.
No, they're all fairly to style. They're not getting super outside of the box, but they're experimenting. They had a couple fruited sours.
Okay, cool.
They had a very nice hazy pale ale on. It was the first kind of hazy pale ale that they'd done.
Interesting.
And this limited release that I picked up is a barrel-aged Belgian black ale.
Whoa, so, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So they're
bought it off.
So they're doing some more interesting things then. That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's great to start simple.
Yeah.
Nail down your styles, and then you can start experimenting.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
If you don't have that experience, then if you just start throwing stuff and see what sticks, you can lose a lot of customers early on.
Yes, you can.
We've seen that with a couple breweries I can think of. So.
We won't mention any on air.
But yeah, the first one that we're going to do is just a basic pale ale I did. Kind of fringes on hazy. I did about a 20% oat malt to the bill.
Okay.
I'll probably up that to have a bit of wheat malt next time to get a little more body and a little more haze. Mash in a little bit higher too. We're getting into the science of it now. So a few beer nerds out there are appreciating it, and a few others are probably like, what is he talking about? But fermented on Kvik, or Quake, however you want to pronounce
cool.
it. 5 days basically, and kegged, dry hopped with Simcoe, Citra, and Cascade in the boil. So
nice.
Yeah. And I can see some carbonation just in the bottle. So
yeah, I poured it off my picnic tap today. So before I left. So yeah, just be real careful opening them. But
why don't you crack one open?
Yeah. Maybe the
one's which.
They're both.
This is the same.
These
beer.
Are both
same
pale. Thing? Yeah, I just brought lots in case everybody was here.
So. And he said it wasn't pouring very well.
Yeah. So.
Whoa!
Hello.
She's lively.
Woohoo! Didn't spill over.
Yeah, we got
did not hit the ceiling.
No, that's better than me and Steve's second batch. Mine hit Evan Doan's ceiling. If you know Doan's Craft Brewing, and Steve's wife got a face full of beer.
Yeah, she's cleared up quite a bit.
There's a touch of haze, not much though.
Yeah, I was brewing with my buddy, and it's a pale ale
recipe.
Refer
to photos.
Yeah,
it's a pale ale recipe that we've done several times, and we were kind of running on autopilot.
Yeah.
And I know there's a little controversy over whether Whirl Flock drops haze or not.
Right.
But we Whirl Flocked it, and I wasn't really planning to do that.
That probably wasn't a great idea. It probably would have been better not to.
As anybody who's homebrewed knows, you don't really homebrew and not drink.
It takes beer to make beer.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
And we were pretty late in the day when we got around to...
It's got a nice aroma. It's got that great fruitiness in the aroma.
It looks kind of nice, too.
Mandarin orangey.
Yeah, you're getting that citrus aroma. I'm also picking up maybe a little bit of like stone fruit kind of aromas.
Mm, yeah, that's in there. Really it nice.
Smells great.
Yeah, the hop really comes through the nose on this one. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty floral.
Yeah, I know the brewer is always going to be their worst critic.
Oh,
like your own worst critic. I feel it's like a good start for a base pale ale, but I want to make a few changes to it, get a little more hoppiness out of it.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty bready.
Yeah.
You can definitely taste the malt in it. I'd say the aroma is quite on point already. It doesn't have as much fruitiness in the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a little more hop bite, but I think you're really onto something here.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that bite, like the if it's bitterness or some pith or something going on.
What temperature did you ferment at?
20 degrees.
Yeah, you might want to
jack that temperature
that
up
a little higher. Yeah,
yeah. I've found with the Loki strain, if you're in that kind of 20 range, I've found I get a little more tropical fruit flavor.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get a little bit higher, you start to get a little more of that farmhouse kind of flavor.
Okay.
Just from experience I've had with using the yeast, but that could all be in my head as well.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was at Torchlight Brewing in Nelson for their anniversary, just, you know, late last year there, they told me to touch the man door of their fermenter because they were doing another Kvik yeast beer, and it was hot to the touch. Like, you can brew with or ferment with that stuff quite hot.
Yeah, you can pitch it at 40 while your wort is cooling.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I do keep going back for sips. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Why
like,
is
I'm,
it?
I'm happy with it. I just feel like it's a little bit one note.
Yeah.
You know?
Why is it a yeast that came out of, is it Iceland or whatever?
Norway.
Norway? A cold fucking country. Why does their yeast work so well at heat?
Because you spend all your fucking year heating your damn house. That's why.
I don't understand.
They're like, we don't want the cold. No, why did I go German?
Maybe it's because your background is German. Taking over.
I was trying to be Wandering Oaken from Frozen, but that didn't work out.
But yeah, the aroma's on point, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the profile is there. We just got to fill in that body a bit, I think.
And a little more fruit flavor.
A little more, yeah.
But at the same time, like I'm not any super taster, but I'm not tasting any serious flaws.
No, it seems really on point.
Warren's the bigger critic here because he's also a very good home brewer.
Let me hear it, Warren.
It's pretty solid. It's pretty decent. Yeah, I think you're right with some minor tweaks.
Yeah.
Would make it really good.
Yeah, like right now, I think this is a good first step.
Yeah. It's not ready for commercial release or anything, but...
Yeah, it's not... It's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah.
But I think, a few tweaks and it would be fantastic.
I mean...
I'd finish a keg of this.
Or whatever. What it really came down to is the Russian Imperial Stout that I brewed. I needed something to put on tap beside it so I could have something a little...
Not quite as intimidating.
Yeah, you know, you want to have like contrast.
Can you pour a black and tan?
I haven't tried that actually. Yeah. Maybe tonight's the night we give that a try. But I don't think you would get much of the tan flavor.
No, you've got kids, right? So you can't always be drinking a Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now I want a black and tan. Damn it!
I've got those silly black and tan things. So.
Hey, they work surprisingly.
They
well.
They do work really well. I've got like three different ones. Yeah. I barely ever use them.
Yeah, that's wow. St. Patrick's Day.
That'd probably be about it, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's kind of the base pale ale I've threw together on a whim.
What was the grain bill? What did you have? Just something like Marisotter in there or something?
Two row, Carafoam.
Okay.
And oats.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there's flaked oats, whole oats, and golden naked in there.
Nice.
And then Carafoam and two row.
Golden naked. Okay.
Yep. Simple.
Yeah. And I think next time I'll add some wheat malt to it to give it a little more of that haze, a little more body, and kind of bring out kind of that banana and fruit flavor.
Haze, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I wasn't necessarily trying to make a hazy beer, but I like the flavor profile of them, so.
It's much easier to make a hazy beer than it is to make a clear beer.
It is. But yeah, all that flaked in there is going to give it a nice body, too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think just adjusting that mash temperature will help with that, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think we mashed at 254. Or no.
Huh?
No.
154.
154, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Brain fart. Yeah, about 154, and I might bump that up to 156, see how much of a difference it makes. But
I might give you a little sweeter finish.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. But that's half the fun of brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other half is drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a crappy hobby, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
End of the day, you got all this beer. You don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, my wife actually got me a home brewing journal for Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
So nice.
Oh, you're encouraging this? And she goes, no, I've just accepted it.
Perfect. Snare,
that's the first step.
Snare keeping notes. It is.
Yeah.
So if something crazy happens, you'll know what you did.
Yeah, exactly. So now I've got my whole malt bill written out, my gravities, everything, taking all of it down now.
Nice.
Now it's not just a hobby, it's also science.
Yes, it is.
Have you heard of Brewer's Friend?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like handwritten notes. I'm old school like that.
He doesn't like friends.
I don't like paying for apps.
You should see my handwritten notes from 20 years ago when I started homebrewing, man. It's like chicken scratch. I can't even figure half of them out.
Nice.
All right. Well,
what's up next?
You guys ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to move to some commercial.
Yeah, we're going to stick with my hometown, though.
Yeah.
Out of Abbotsford, we're going to do Ravens Brewing's first... barrel age release. Well, not first barrel age release, but their first wild barrel aged beer. So.
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah, part of their conspiracy series. It's called Birds Aren't Real.
Heresy.
Demonstrably true. Yeah, there is very little on this bottle. Fermented and aged in an oak wine barrel. That's it.
Okay, then. No indication of style or anything?
Strong, I think it said.
Strong ale. Well, that could be anything over 5.5.
It's a wild farmhouse ale.
Well, it's got a nice color to it. It's got a bit of haze. But it's that nice, deep yellow, goldenish.
Certainly got a nose on it. I can smell it from here.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Does it ever.
Ooh, 6.9%.
Nice.
I can tell from the aroma that it's soured.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah.
3 IBUs. Birds Aren't Real. Wild farmhouse ale was fully fermented and aged in locally sourced wine barrels. Pouring a hazy straw color with aromas of oak and Brett funk, it finishes crisp and dry with a complex wild flavor and notes of fruit.
Wow. That is really good.
I'm just still sniffing this. This is a really fun smell.
There's a little bit of something in that in the aroma that mm-hmm. reminds me almost like vinegar.
Yeah.
I was a little worried, but when I tasted it, I didn't taste anything like that.
Yeah,
it's got a nice burning. Funk.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really nice oaky funk.
But like for a first shot. Wood fermented and aged beer. Like,
that's nice.
Yeah, you get some of the tannins from the barrel
mm-hmm.
without it being like ultra woody.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nice. Damn. A little bit of fruitiness. Finishes tart, but not like
pucker.
Super sour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a really nice balance mm-hmm. to a barrel aged sour. That's why I love barrel aged sours because they can be so much, they can have so much depth, whereas. Kettle sours can be good, but there's so little depth in them.
Yeah, yeah. Very one-dimensional. This is really nice.
I'm not actually tasting any of this, but for some reason it reminds me of like a blackberry liqueur. Like, I'm not getting blackberry flavor.
Has a fruitiness to it.
Yeah, it's really kind of, it's a pleasant sort of after-dinner sipper, I think.
I can definitely see it like trending towards berry, like sort of a generic berry flavor.
Yep.
But
wow,
yeah.
That's really, really nice.
Yeah. And I know for a while they were tasting room limited, but they have distributed. I've seen them in a few liquor stores.
Oh, yeah?
They're in 500 ml bottles, so and they're not extremely expensive. Like you see some of these limited releases that come out, and they're like, God. Oh yeah, 500 ml bottle, $12,
$18.
I think they're right around that, like $9 or $10.
Okay, bag. That's really reasonable then. Yeah.
Wow.
That's and really nice. I have no problem paying that price for this beer.
Like, no,
I
that's, think
it's, well, no, that's really that's good. Reasonable, yeah. It's really good.
Especially for a barrel-aged.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I hope they make more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know they're going to be doing more in this conspiracy theory, or conspiracy series.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of their first release. They're also getting into distilling. So
say what?
They have a house vodka that they use for cocktails in the tasting room, but it's not commercially available yet.
Okay.
They're also using it for tinctures and that kind of thing for their brewing. But they do have a still, and they're playing with it right now. And
very interesting.
They're they have actually changed the name unofficially to Raven's Brewing and Distilling.
Hmm.
And they have all their licensing for it. So
nice. Do you know anything else about their plans for the distilling?
Not off the top of my head. I know they were planning to do a couple, like up to three releases in the new year. Most likely like a vodka, a gin, and maybe like a moonshine type alcohol. But that's kind of all I know right now.
Hmm.
But they, being in Abbotsford, they've got the space to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, space is a lot cheaper than it is in the city, so. Yeah,
no doubt.
Well, I remember they had quite a bit of space beyond their actual brewing space when I was there originally.
Yeah, and that area in the back, they're actually, they have a bunch of barrels of Odd Society stuff that's just sitting there aging because they have the space for it. And
oh, yeah, nice.
Part of the agreement is when they're done aging it, they get those barrels.
Nice.
So, good deal.
It's a very good deal.
Wow.
I don't know how long that'll last one now that they're distilling to, but then they'll have their own barrels to play with. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
Takes a while, though.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
As do all good things.
Wow. Yes, yes. Oh. And, I mean, that's a good partnership to have because Odd Society makes some really, really tasty stuff.
Mm-hmm. They've done a few fun things with the barrels they've gotten. They did a gin barrel-aged lager where they just filled up a barrel 20 liters with lager. And then they actually had to cut it with 100 liters of fresh lager because it was so strong gin flavor.
Whoopsie.
But man, that was good.
Huh.
And like they'll every once in a while, if you go in there, the tasting room will have something different that is just kind of a one-off thing. But Ravens kind of flies under the radar in Abbotsford because you got Fieldhouse out there and they're kind of more the draw when you're coming into town, but I mean they've been plugging along and putting out great beers. And if you want good sours, like fruited sours is kind of their main thing they're known for, but Abby's kind of grown like crazy. If you told me, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that we'd have five breweries in Abbotsford, I would have told you were crazy.
Four?
Yeah, four.
Still.
Yeah.
I guess if Surly survived, there would have been five.
Yeah, there would have been.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss you, Solitaire.
It was a very good beer. It was just the one beer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
One of the things that's kept me away from Ravens, and it's been fixed now, but it was the stupid tasting room licensing where they could only sell you a flight, even if it was the same fucking beer. It was the one flight, and
that annoying.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? If the licensing is just a tasting room, can you let us just have a 12-ounce sleeve then, government? Like, come on.
Yeah, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
12 ounces is 12 ounces is 12 especially, ounces.
Because
a flight is actually more than 12 ounces, you dumbass.
Yeah.
But
16,
yeah. At least, yeah. Some are 20.
Yeah. Some are closer to 20.
Yeah, it all depends on the glassware.
yeah, that's all been rectified now. They have their full lounge endorsement and everything. Good. So.
Good. I just need to get to Abbotsford more often for work or something.
Yeah,
I'm not even stopping in there as often as I used to because I got to go all the way to Chilliwack now. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Stopping on the way here.
But yeah, should we go number three next?
Yeah, let's crack into it.
Let's go to Nanaimo. Do a little white sails.
White sails.
Yeah, taking the ferry across right now.
So yeah, it's been about 2 years probably since I've been to White Sails. I stopped in there when I was going up island. About 2 years ago. It might have been a little more, but I was doing a follow-up on an article for What's Brewing. David and Ed Vaughna had gone up island and done a big article about Cowichan and all that.
Yeah.
And I followed up behind them and took some photos and things like that to beef it up. And wow, there's a lot going on up that end of the island these days. But back then, a few years back when I went through there, I went through Nanaimo and went into White Sails. Nice space. Right down by the water. Big, big open room. Pretty cool brewing space off of the one end. But yeah, you could have a lot of people in there, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a nice old brick building, too. Yeah. Looks gorgeous. And I know they've got events going through there all the time, different art stuff, musicians playing. Like, it seems like every day of the week something different is happening in there. So
it's a great space for doing any kind of events. I could see that being used a lot.
Yeah, it looks like a great community space, too, because I know they have... like just community days where you can come in and say, hey, like open mic or even karaoke nights and stuff like that. Like,
I'll skip those nights.
So what do we have here?
So this is the White Sails Barrel-Aged Belgian Black.
Belgian Black. It is really dark. It looks like a stout.
9.3% limited release.
Wow.
I like these light beers. I mean, what? It's not 12.
Conditioned in Kentucky bourbon barrels and aged 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Brewed and aged at 125 Comox Road, Nanaimo, BC. Bold, full-bodied, and huge dark pit fruit notes and a coffee and molasses undertone.
Okay.
Prominent notes of oak and bourbon provide a rich depth of flavor.
Wow.
It smelled good when I smelled the bottle quickly.
Mike doesn't like these kinds of beers, so we're just going to keep it on the other side of the table from him.
Those are fighting words.
This is a thick beer, man. This is black with a tan head.
Like, I'm swirling it in my glass. This looks like a stout. I can feel the viscosity of this pulling at the glass.
That's got some weight to it.
It looks like a stout. Like a really thick, heavy stout.
Yeah, I don't see anything through there.
No light coming
through. Not a thing.
It smells quite nice, though. Real rich.
Mm, yeah, good coffee, like roasty, mocha.
Dark chocolate. Yeah.
Licorice?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of cinnamon from those bourbon notes.
Damn.
Yeah, that's complex smelling.
Definitely get that molasses kind of nose.
Sugary sweetness.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's got some weight.
That reminds me, on the aroma only, reminds me a little bit of How Sound's pothole filler or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I know it's not the same style of beer at all, but... No,
but, like, I get where you're coming from. That's a touch boozy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get the lighter out. You could probably blow
some barrel.
Yeah, it's definitely woody.
Holy moly. Yeah.
Lots of tannins there.
That's actually a touch more bitter than I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, there is the hint of bourbon. And by hint, I mean big hint.
Yeah, it's pulling those tannins out of the barrel big time. It's got a little bite.
Mm.
Got some ash kind of...
it's pulled some of that bourbon flavor out of the barrel, too. You get that booze.
Yeah.
Second sip is way better, though.
Yeah.
The first one's a little bit of a surprise.
A lot of brown sugar, molasses kind of things going on in the background.
That first one just clocks you with a left that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, that's, I think six months in the barrel probably would have sufficed.
Yeah, a year is a little heavy for the wood. But,
it's a little much.
Probably a first use on the barrel too then, right?
Because,
I mean, there's lots of beers like this that go a year.
After the barrel's been used a few times, it'll tone down.
Yeah, but first use, I mean...
Yeah, be careful.
Technically, the barrels come empty, but I'm sure that they're fairly moist when they get them.
Yes. Wood absorbs liquid.
Yes.
Honestly, that's kind of nice after you get over that initial shock.
Yeah, once you start working on it and sipping on it, you get a few sips into it, it's not as sharp. It's not, it doesn't really get you.
Then it gets more chocolate and brown sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm not really picking up a lot of Belgian anything. This is more Imperial Stout.
I don't know. I'm getting kind of a sherry note that makes me think Belgian.
That could just be... No, I don't think it is, but I mean...
There's a fruitiness that I'm getting that's probably coming from the Belgian yeast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that spicy kind of side to it, we're not really getting.
Yeah. And then, I mean, as beers like this age, they usually get that sherry flavor anyways.
Mm.
Like Russian Imperial Stouts and all that. Unless you're unlucky and you get the cardboard. But often they age with the sherry flavor anyways. Barley wines, Imperial Stouts, all that kind of thing. Yeah.
The tannins from the wood really balance the finish out, so it doesn't finish like on the sweet side. It's more balanced in the finish, but I could see how without the barrel it would be a little sweet in the finish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, it'd probably be...
Yeah, it'd be way too much brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably still like it, but it'd probably be a little cloying.
Yeah.
And that bitterness helps to kind of lighten it up, too, on the palate. So.
And as I sip it, I get a little more of that, like the licorice flavor and stuff in there.
I'm getting that bourbon in the finish too. It's just
anise,
Just damn. You know, I know I can never find out, but I'm always kind of curious which bourbon.
Well, where's Jack Daniel's from?
Tennessee.
Yeah. Okay, that's not them.
Yeah,
because I said Kentucky,
probably
right?
Bullet or something that. Maybe
often it's. Unless you have very specific expensive beers, they're often just the fairly standard whiskeys or bourbons. Because Jack Daniel's has barrels everywhere because they make
they go through
so
a lot
much.
Of them.
Yeah.
And bourbon has a one use only rule.
Yeah,
it's one of those curiosity things.
A lot
I
of barrels
have.
Float
yeah, which is great for beer.
Yeah. Wow,
I'm impressed. I haven't had a beer of theirs in a couple of years now because. You don't really find it on the mainland here, but
no, I can't remember if I've ever seen it here.
It's a big beer, but it's not super heavy in body.
It doesn't
like cling to the sides of the glass as much as that I would expect it to.
Yeah, not like some of the ones you've had in the past on the show.
Yeah. I don't remember those.
Yes, yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
That might have been a rough morning for you.
Might have been.
Not going to say yes, not going to say no.
I think we all know how it went.
Well, yeah, well, if you're in, if you're on the island and anywhere in the Nanaimo vicinity, I would highly recommend picking up a bottle of this.
Yeah.
Me too. That
maybe a couple. Tasty. I think this would age well, too.
Yeah.
Or even just stopping at White Sales and see what's on the board.
Right.
They do have, it looks like, a kind of pilot batch system that they're doing stuff on that's tasting room only on tap, and it's gone when it's gone. So.
And, I mean, if you're in Nanaimo, go check out... Longwood? Is it Longwood?
Oh, yeah. Longwood Brew Pub.
Check out Longwood, too, because... I just recently tried a can of their triple Imperial Stout or quadruple Imperial Stout. What was that? Didn't you see that one?
Oh, yeah. The wax dip can.
Now, they didn't have wax dip cans here. I think I took a picture of it. But it was quite tasty. It was huge.
Really?
Let's see if I
and just around the corner from the Longwood production facility is, of course, Arbutus Distilling, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It was the...
I was in the air.
BBA Triple Stout 2019 edition.
Triple.
It was, what was the percentage? It was really high. And I enjoyed it. It was a little bit thinner, kind of like this one. It wasn't super, super thick like some of the Imperial Stouts can get. Come on. 16% alcohol.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, she's a beast. I found it at High Point Liquor in Vancouver on Hastings.
How much did that cost? Because I imagine the government takes a big chunk of that.
Yeah. I think the tax goes up to that point.
It wasn't super cheap, but it also wasn't horribly expensive like a lot of American craft beers become in Canada now. Yeah. So, I mean, I only bought one can.
It wasn't anything outrageous, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it was... Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But yeah, it was probably like $9 or something for the tall can, which is...
That's not terrible, that's not actually. Terrible. That's cheaper than I was expecting you to say.
I think it was about $9. It could be higher, I don't know. But I bought one can because I was like, I don't know.
I've seen cans of Speedway up here going for like $15. So.
I've seen bottles of Speedway go for like $40, so yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, American dollar.
Yeah.
And government.
And liquor stores trying to jump on the hype, too. I mean,
Well, but I've
market
noticed...
Market adjustment.
Yeah.
I don't think they're making much on those bottles, though, because they don't move anymore because they've gotten so expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it... Wow. Bainbridge Liquor in Burnaby is blowing out a lot of their American beers at super cheap prices because they've been there so long.
Oh, yeah. Now they're past their best.
I got some... What was it? The brewery beer? And they're regular, like, $25 on for, like, $15.
Wow.
They have some Cascade beers that are usually $40 on for, like, $27.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think those Cascade ones are going to go bad. They probably get better as they age.
They just had too much.
They're not going to get any more tart, that's for sure.
Right? Yeah. I'd be picking up all those Cascades.
I picked a bunch of the brewery because I was interested. But, yeah, so... It ends in sort of mid-March, so if you hear this in time, go check it out.
Where was this?
Bainbridge Liquor.
Bainbridge.
Don't bother, Warren will buy it all.
Yep.
He won't jump it out of his chair right now.
I'm not a huge fan of sours and stuff, but when they're done properly, I really enjoy them.
Oh, yeah.
And Cascade Barrel Room, oh my God. They do fantastic work there. And they are pricey, so if you can get a discount on them, why not?
Yeah. And while we're in the land of high gravity here, we'll finish probably with one that's not quite as tasty, but we'll see what you guys think. This is my homebrewed Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, don't undersell yourself. Come on now.
We finished out at 11.8% this year.
Wow. Okay.
Super light. Yep. I like it.
Sessionable. aged for 5 days on medium toasted French oak that was soaked in 40 Creek rye whiskey.
Ooh. I like some 40 Creek.
I call it Summit Series because it's a Russian Imperial Stout with Canadian whiskey.
Nice.
I like it. I like it.
So, what was the final gravity?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was...
16-ish? Or?
Yeah, we were... Higher? We were around 18.
Yeah. That's about right.
So.
Cool. Yeah,
this one's a little syrupy. So.
Well, at 12%, I mean, this is a stout version of a barley wine, right?
Essentially, yeah. Yeah. it's about 23 pounds of grain for a 5-gallon batch.
Yeah, so. Your mash tun was full that day.
Yeah, yeah. It's a 10-gallon mash tun, and I really maxed her out.
Nice. Yeah.
And added about... kilogram and a half of brown sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's a dark one. Yep.
Yep.
Like, I'm even getting color off of just swirling it and letting it run down. It's significantly darker where the beer has swirled.
Yeah, so this is about the same color. Well, I'd say even darker than that last one we just had.
Yeah.
And a significantly darker head.
That's where I was going off the
color. In past
years,
I've used light toasted French oak. But the homebrew store was out, so we went medium toast this time. And I feel like I'm going to go back to light next time.
Yeah, I can smell it.
Yeah, the oak is there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's forever.
Really nice vanilla note on the nose.
Nice roast, too. Not getting any hints of, like, sometimes you can smell a beer and tell it's going to be bitter or something. I'm not getting that.
No, but there's a really nice...
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, she's boozy. and oaky.
No, no, yeah, woaky. I'm getting oaky, that yeah. woody, that almost like that oily woody.
Yeah,
I'm amazed. Oh, how many days did you say again?
5 days.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, it was one.
How ounce. Many cubes?
Yeah, was, no shit.
It was 1 ounce.
Really?
Medium toast French oak.
1 ounce.
Holy damn. Shit! Because it comes through.
Yeah.
It
does. So
I'm loving this though. This is great.
Yeah. So
you hit the body though. Like the body is yeah, it's got not, that nice
it's
thickness.
Not too thick, but it's there.
But it's not like some are just like some are just the all flavors right and everything, but it's just too thin sometimes, right? Yeah. And this doesn't have that problem.
Yeah, this is definitely thick enough for everything. It stands up. I like the little smoky notes in there.
It's yeah. oak and smoke first, for yeah, sure.
Very much.
A little bit of like leathery, tobacco-y thing going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, ideally I'd like to, again, go back to that lighter toast so it's not yeah. quite so oaky.
Yeah.
This is like punch you in the mouth with oak.
A little bit, but...
But
it's on the stronger side.
Yeah, but... For those cold days where it's snowing out.
It's warming my belly.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, yeah. No doubt.
No, I'm feeling a little happier after this. I got to tell you.
This is why I brewed the pale ale to go beside it.
Yeah, yeah. Totally understand. Right.
You need... You have one of these.
So I'm thinking...
You have one of these.
Yeah, I have several of these.
The pale ale probably finished pretty dry, right?
Sorry?
The pale ale probably finished pretty dry, pretty yeah. low gravity.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you might be able to do a black and tan.
We could. We got enough of both that you can try. I mean,
except it'll be backwards. It'd be tan on the bottom, yeah. Or the black on the bottom, tan on the top.
True, but it should work.
Should.
Mike Pale's right there. The. Who wants to do some science?
Me.
Yeah. That's still a bit too woody for me.
Yeah. My buddy and I, we brew it every year. And, like, we change our recipes up and compare them.
Yep.
But we both did the oak, because it was the only oak we could find on short notice. And he did it because he kegged his a week earlier than I did mine. So
yeah.
he did his for 7 days.
Oh.
And he was like, he immediately after he was kegging it, he's like, just do 5.
Yeah.
And even 5 was like,
even that's enough. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, wow. Maybe we should have done 3.
So let me think about this. You want the lighter one in the glass first, right?
That in for theory, yes.
Traditional well, black glass, then,
so. I'm just curious about what's going to happen here.
Fluid dynamics.
Okay. Science.
Yeah, so, yeah. So I'd put the pale ale in and then pour the Guinness or.
Bill. Pour Bill. The stout Bill. Over. Or no, Steve. 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 Steve, the science guy.
So we've got this little tool here called the Perfect Black and Tan.
Yeah, I've got the same one.
It's a weird little strainer looking kind of thing.
It looks like a coaster.
There's pale ale there. Is that the pale ale? That's the pale
yeah,
ale,
that's
right?
The pale. Yeah.
There's another pale ale as well.
So. Yeah, there's more in here if you need it.
I'm just going to do a relatively small pour. We've got more episodes to do tonight.
A couple for sure.
Okay. He's got some pale ale in the glass.
See
he's
if the science
the,
works.
So the little tool on top.
Drum roll, please.
Thank you. And now he's going to attempt to pour the stout just a sec, so that it goes under the pale ale.
Yeah, just a sec. There we go. Okay, yeah, all let's right. do it. Let's do it. As it spills all
he's
over the
very
table.
He's gently pouring the stout. It is trickling through the tool. And it looks like it is mixing thoroughly.
Yep.
So much for the perfect black so and tan tool.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think the ratio is about right. Let's see how this tastes.
Well, the thing is that if you use the right beer first, then it'll be perfect. If you don't, then it's going to be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I bet you it's delish.
That is really good.
Damn where's it. That pail?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have a taste of that.
I'm going to start making these at home now.
Steve.
Sure. It brings out sort of a nice, like,
that's really
honeysuckle.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I really like that.
I can taste both beers at the same time.
Yeah, they're very distinct. I thought the pale ale might get blown out, but that's really good.
Maybe the reason why it's not showing a color difference is because there's just not enough beer in the glass.
Either that or their densities are just not
they're not different enough.
They taste like they're separated, though. It's the weirdest thing.
I know. Like, you're getting really distinct pale ale.
Yeah. That's really strange. Wow. That's what we do for fun.
Yeah.
No, that. We mix there beers. Is your cellar.
See, I don't know how I haven't done this at home already.
Lazy.
Well, usually I'm like, oh.
Well, and that brings it down to, like, what, about 8% then?
Yeah. That's reasonable.
Because usually I'll have a pale ale or two, and then if I'm feeling like a nightcap, then it's a 12-ounce pour of the Russian Imperial, and then it's night-night time.
Right? Now you've got another option.
Yeah.
Should we sign off and let Carnell in, or?
I mean, do we have to?
I guess.
You guys can sign it off. Patreon.
All right. This has been Pacific Beer Chat. Don't forget to subscribe on our Patreon. You can subscribe for as little as a dollar. You don't get anything, but you help us out.
You get the episodes early or something, don't you?
I've gotten a little bad at that.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. We just really appreciate
depends
it.
Depends how quickly I edit them, too.
These episodes can be a little expensive to produce, so we appreciate any help you can give us.
Yes.
And other than that, please follow us, and we'll see you next time. I'm Steve.
I'm Warren.
I'm Cam.
Cheers.
Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know, and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.